The rebels boarded a civilian shuttlecraft for a ride into the city. Sure enough, the Bakuran Senate had requested that they attend an immediate emergency session. Their Bakuran pilot guide brought them in low over a huge wedge-shaped building.
"This is the Bakur complex," announced the pilot.
At a rooftop landing pad, they transferred to a repulsor tram for a rapid ride across the large complex. The tram slid under a vine-draped arch and decelerated. The party disembarked. Door wardens in gold-trimmed violet doublets and hose admitted them to a spacious hallway carpeted in black. Gold traceries ran like veins of precious metal up a row of columns, built in double wedge style, then crisscrossed overhead on a vaulted ceiling. They paused at an arch carved of glistening white stone. A rough wooden wall blocked most of it, with scanners hovering on silent repulsor lifts over each side, and four Imperial stormtroopers standing guard. They were forced to check all their weapons but the lightsaber, which Luke passed off as a symbol of honor, not an offensive weapon. They left Chewbacca, 3PO, and R2 standing guard over the locker where their weapons were stored, and the rest of them mounted four broad steps into the vast square chamber of the Bakuran Senate. Wylock Nereus must have caught a faster shuttle. He sat there already. Luke sensed that a dark undercurrent of fear pervaded the chamber. This was a world under attack. One trim, athletic-looking man with thick white hair who sat below Governor Nereus at an inner table extended a hand.
"Welcome to Bakura. I'm Prime Minister Jorg Kaptesen. I apologize for the haste with which this meeting was convened, but certainly you understand."
Luke scanned the older man. The Prime Minister's charisma made a glimmer in the Force only a shade dimmer than Mon Mothma's. Luke wondered why the governor hadn't eradicated him. "Please don't apologize," said Leia. "This is a desperate hour." Hastily, Luke swept his focus leftward along the inner table, feeling echoes of fear, hope, and hostility. When he reached its end, he worked toward the right along the outer upper table. A sharp-chinned young woman sat third from the left. Light brown hair swept around her face, framing pale flower petal skin and an intent expression. Luke paused, startled by the way she resonated the Force back to him. Like a deep, slow thrum, her presence echoed his probe with a rich overlay. It wasn't Force strength of her own, at least he didn't think so, but a unique, energizing effect on his awareness. He'd never experienced it before. Hurriedly, he slammed off all perception but his five senses. He mustn't let her distract him. Nereus's strident voice carried distinctly across the chamber.
"Princess Leia, do you understand what you're up against?"
Leia laid a hand on an inner tabletop.
"No," she admitted.
Nereus curled his lips.
"I thought not. Keldworth,"
he ordered into the air,
"run the Shibwara recording."
A holographic projection appeared. It was a young human male with muddy, cream-colored skin, short black hair, and a sweet face with prominent cheekbones. He wore a white robe with blue and green side stripes.
"Humans of Bakura, rejoice! I am Deb Siwara of Garo. I bring you warm greetings of the Siruk Imperium, a culture of many worlds that stretches its hand out to you. Our flagship is the mighty Shriwar, a Siruvi word that means ripe with eggs. We are approaching your galaxy at the behest of your own emperor. Yours is the privilege of assisting the Siruk to liberate the other thousand worlds of the galaxy. You are the first, the spearhead. What an honor."
The recording shifted. Several dull brown Saurian aliens clustered around one of the alien fighters Luke had battled. Full recognition blasted through Luke's mind. He recognized the creatures from his disturbing dream back at Endor. The boy kept speaking.
"Here you see the most beautiful fighting spacecraft in the galaxy. Even if you never dared to dream of flying the stars, we have one of these fighters for each of you. Your life energies will leap into one of these battle droids. You will soar between planets."
Life energies.
Luke recalled the despair of the human presences he'd touched.
"To allay your fears, let me show you a bit of the entechment procedure. Then, when the time comes, you may greet your destiny with joy."
A smaller image appeared beside him. A man sat on a chair, anchored to it with clear binders, head lolling.
Those had been humans they'd been fighting. Luke clenched his hands. The Siruk weren't simple slavers, but robbers of souls.
Senator Gariel Captison shuddered and stopped watching. She'd seen this recording 10 times, starting the afternoon it abruptly overrode all Tri-D screens, vid monitors, and entertainment channels on the planet. Were the rebels really here to help, as they claimed? They would have to help Bakura now, simply to escape. Goodbye for now. I look forward to meeting each of you personally. Come to us soon. The image blinked off. The senator on Gary's right muttered, "Bloody-handed fluties." Now that the rebels knew what Siruk did to prisoners, Princess Leia's face matched her white dress. She touched the arm of her dark-haired rebel consort, the smuggler Solo. "We mean to help you," Leia called. "The Alliance has sent one of its ablest military leaders, Commander Skywalker of the Jedi Order."
Jedi?
Caught with her defenses down, Gary reached for a pendant on her necklace, the half-black, half-white enameled ring of the Cosmic Balance. The deaths of both her parents left her profoundly religious. At least in the balance, she'd found comfort. According to her religion, Jedi had upset the universe by their very existence. For every height, there had to be a depth. She believed that every time an individual learned to wield so much power, it diminished a hapless counterpart somewhere in the galaxy. The power-greedy Jedi had puffed up their abilities without regard for the unknown others they destroyed. The disappearance of the Jedi had become a morality tale. But had some of the Jedi survived? Commander Skywalker looked so young, not at all like her idea of a Jedi, except in his intensity. He was staring right at her. He might be listening to her thoughts. Leia hadn't missed the senator's whispers and sidelong glances at Luke. This was Vader's legacy. Even Luke's talents, used honorably to support justice and freedom, made people afraid. She must recapture their attention. "Governor Nereus, don't you see? You must accept rebel assistance or risk your entire population. We're not a large force, but we are well coordinated and equipped with better striking ships than the Empire has allotted you. Would you clear data files for our use? On the Siruk, of course, and any on Bakura itself that wouldn't compromise your security." Governor Nereus covered his mouth with one meaty hand. Feeling like a bug on a laser dish, Leia held onto her poise and tried to mentally nudge him into cooperating. If this interview dragged on without a promise of mutual assistance, they were sunk. A tall, elderly man stood up at one of the lower tables.
"Nereus," he exclaimed, "take help where you can get it. Everyone on the planet knows why the rebels are here. If you turn away their help, you're going to provoke an uprising."
"Thank you, Senator Belden."
Governor Nereus narrowed his heavy-lidded eyes.
"All right, Princess Leia. You have your data files. Do you have any other requests for the moment before I have your guide show you to temporary quarters?"
"Are you leaving the truce issue unsettled?"
"You've said your piece. We'll discuss it."
When the Alliance entourage entered the wood-paneled apartment that had been assigned to them, they found a message already waiting at the apartment's comm center. Commander Thanis' image appeared on the Tri-D screen and summoned Luke to his office.
"Alone?" Leia exclaimed.
Luke nodded.
"Don't do it," said Han. "Make him meet you someplace neutral."
Luke shrugged.
"Bakura isn't neutral."
"Well, then take Chewie with you."
"I think I should stay here," 3PO suggested helpfully, his hand on his newly fitted restraining bolt as if he were self-conscious.
"Han, Leia, Chewie, I can take care of myself," Luke insisted. "The more we act as if we trust them, the more they'll go along with us. I'd rather take R2 anyway."
"Just keep your eyes open, kid," said Han.
"And be careful," 3PO exclaimed.
Sooner than Luke felt ready, his Alliance shuttle landed at the edge of Bakura's military garrison. The nervous pilot helped him unload R2 and then sped away north toward the spaceport where much of the Alliance fleet had landed for repairs. Luke stared up at the garrison's perimeter. Above and behind a fence that crackled with high voltage, stormtroopers paced catwalks between enormous observation towers. Patrol droids converged on him from 3 directions.
This was the Empire, all right.
Luke strode boldly toward the gate. Come on, R2. A trooper came walking towards them, carrying an owner for controlling R2's restraining bolt and a repulsor disc with twin side struts.
Welcome, Commander Skywalker. The droid will come in on the disc shut down. You may carry your personal owner, but unauthorized reactivation will be construed as hostile.
It's all right, don't worry, Luke said to the droid. Once the trooper had deactivated R2's main power converter, he and Luke strapped the silent droid to the repulsor disc. They took seats in a shuttle, towing R2 on the disc, and sped over the base. The shuttle passed through huge blast doors between a pair of monstrous guard towers and into a vehicle bay where the trooper parked. They passed into a high-speed turbo lift, and Luke's stomach dropped as the lift rose. Stepping off the turbo lift, he found himself at the end of a long, straight hallway. Stormtroopers stood at every doorway, white-armored guardians. Luke strode past them, eyes forward, but Jedi senses on alert and one hand near his lightsaber. In a circular reception area, he spotted a man approaching up the far hallway. His erect posture and measured stride gave him away. Tall and pike thin, he exuded self-assurance. Narrow face and sparse curly hair confirmed Luke's guess. Luke walked to meet him.
Commander Thanis.
Commander Skywalker.
Thanis peered down an Acklin nose.
This way, please.
He turned on one heel and sauntered back the way he had come. Luke steered the repulsor disc after Thanis. At the far end of the hallway, Thanis stepped into an office.
I will confess, Skywalker, I didn't expect you to come,
he said when they were seated.
I expected you to ask to meet me somewhere else.
Luke shrugged. This seemed practical.
True.
May I? Luke gestured toward R2 with the restraining bolt owner.
By all means.
Luke switched the little droid back on. R2's dome spun once, then came to rest. Why did the Emperor contact the Siruk? Luke began.
Thanis scratched his neck, trying to look casual, but the stress lines around his eyes darkened.
If I knew, I would not be at liberty to tell you.
But you don't know. Thanis only stared back. We do need to discuss the current tactical situation, Luke suggested.
The exchange was punctuated by frustrating dead ends, but when Luke stood up 2 hours later, he had a better grasp of the tactical situation and the enormous odds against the Alliance and the Bakurans. Precise data on orbital defense net vectors, and a few miscellaneous tidbits stored in his mind and R2's memory banks.
Commander Skywalker, Thanis said softly, I wonder if you wouldn't favor me with a demonstration of that lightsaber. I've heard about them.
I think not. Luke kept his tone polite. I don't want to alarm your troopers.
They won't be alarmed.
Thanis touched another key on his desk. The door slid open. Two stormtroopers stepped inside.
I'd like to keep your astromech droid here. You two, take custody.
I'd prefer to keep R2 with me. Luke didn't think Thanis meant the threat seriously, but he unhooked and activated the saber with a single motion. For all his willingness to talk, Thanis thought like an Imperial. He wanted a demonstration. He'd get it. The troopers fired milliseconds apart. Luke pivoted into the blasts and deflected them, tiny flames extinguished in Thanis's gray paneling.
Hold your fire!
Thanis lifted a hand.
Dismissed.
The troopers marched out.
I don't understand.
Luke kept the saber ignited.
You could have lost two of your men.
Thanis stared at the humming green blade.
I didn't think you would kill them. I'd have had to take you prisoner if you did. I wonder if you'd care to fight your way out through a whole garrison.
Luke reached for his focus of control.
If I had to, I would.
He sensed a trace of amusement in the older man. Perhaps Thanis was hostile more out of professional habit than out of real belief in the Empire, but Luke didn't trust him yet. He closed down the saber. I need to check on my forces' ship's damages, Commander. I'd appreciate a lift over to the spaceport.
Thanis nodded. You may go. Take your droid with you.
He never could have admitted to young Skywalker how long he'd wished to see a lightsaber in action, thought Peter Thanis. Its combat uses would be limited, but its very appearance was compelling. As was the young man who carried it. Now he understood why the reward for his capture was so high. Thanis imagined what he could do with so many credits. He'd been transferred to this dead-end position after refusing to wipe out a village of recalcitrant Tult's salt mine slaves back on Alzok 3. He thought about that reward and early retirement. Dev knew he had to report to Elder Shtkith, the giant blue-scaled Siruk he called Bluescale, before his mid-cycle bath. Not that he wanted renewal, but if Bluescale thought Dev had avoided him, he'd pry deeper. Bluescale was incredibly sensitive to changes in Dev's scent. Besides, the Elder had a talent for hypnotic control, even though he was as force-blind as the rest of them. Dev ought to be able to resist him, for simple hypnosis was nothing next to the power of the Force. But he couldn't control it well enough, and he had no one to teach him. During the battle with the Imperials, Dev had felt the presence of one of his own kind. What if there really were a Jedi out there? The Siruk would be vitally interested, but Dev didn't want Bluescale to know yet. Walking lightly, he headed up a broad corridor of the ship. Siruk passed him, going in both directions. He found Bluescale in Master Fear Wurung's entechment hall. Bluescale stood in the corridor, giving orders to a group of Puweks. Dev stood back a respectful distance. Once the Puweks scurried away, he stepped close. "You wished me to report, Elder?" Bluescale opened a hatchway.
"Come in."
Dev stepped down into the enclosure.
What is it you wish? What may I do to please you?"
Bluescale bent his massive head closer to Dev and peered down with one eye.
"You are human. Think for a moment what that means."
Dev stared at his soft, fuzzy arm.
It means inferior."
"Are you certain?"
Bewildered, Dev shut his eyes. From the deepest recesses of emotion, he released something controlled and repressed and stinking and hateful, and the huge lizard loomed nearer. Dev howled and struck its forelimb.
"Harder. You can do better than that, weakling."
Gritting his teeth, Dev plunged a fist into its upper arm. "You killed my world, my parents, my people. Every one of them gone, absorbed, murdered, mutilated."
"Nothing new to be angry for?"
Dev raised his fists in front of his chest. The lizard bent closer and blew lizard stench at him.
"You'd like to poke at this eye, I'll guess."
Dev stared at the eye. It seemed to grow and surround him in blackness. It sucked him in. He fell into its depths, clutching the trailing edges of freedom. He tumbled. Horrified, he lay curled up on the cold gray deck tiles. He had abused Bluescale.
"Dev, you should never say things like that."
"I know."
Bluescale trilled a soft, throaty purr.
"Dev."
He looked up.
"We forgive you."
Dev sighed deeply.
"I angered you deliberately, Dev, to show you how close to the surface your temper lies. You must never show anger."
"I won't again. Thank you. I'm sorry."
"Dev, you were disturbed this afternoon during the battle. Why?"
Dev vaguely remembered that he'd hoped not to tell, but he couldn't remember why. The Siruk protected him and met all his needs. They gave him pleasure, even when he did not deserve it.
It was remarkable. The sense of another Force user close by.
"This house was built by Captain Arden, the city's founder,"
Prime Minister Jorg Kaptisson told the Alliance representatives. They'd been invited to dine with him and Senator Belden at the Kaptisson's home. Luke looked down into the dining room made of vine-covered white stone walls. Blue-green water rippled beneath the room's transparent flooring. Underwater lights cast shadows of fish and an occasional snake-like creature. Force of habit made Luke probe the room for hostile intent. Halfway down the table, he sensed her.
Senator Gariel Captison. Or else there were two women on this planet who could electrify him without even meeting his eyes. She was already seated, facing away from the door. Madame Tyree Captison swept into the room, swirled off her cape, and handed it to a servant as she appeared to walk on water. The Prime Minister escorted Leia to a spot next to himself along one side. Madame Captison took the other chair on that end. Senator Orne Belden already sat next to her on that corner. "Just beyond him, dear," Madame Captison told Chewbacca. She didn't share the Bakurin and Imperial prejudice against aliens. Luke grinned despite his distraction. "Dear" wasn't a term he'd have applied to a Wookiee.
"Nice job of work yesterday,"
the elderly man told Luke.
"My chance to thank you. We were ready to run for the hills when you arrived."
Han sat down next to Leia. That left Luke only one chair, just left of that glimmer in the Force.
"Our niece, Gariel, Commander,"
declared the Prime Minister. Before Luke could even say hello, she turned to Chewbacca. "If you'd prefer to sit with your party, I'd be glad to trade places." Luke suggested subliminally to Chewie that he'd like to remain. Chewie responded to Gariel with a shake of his head. As conversation sprang up around the table, Luke turned towards her. Her eyes, one gray and one green, narrowed. "How do you do, Commander Skywalker?" "Well, it's been a long day," he answered quietly, damping down his awareness of the Force to keep the seductive savor of her presence from monopolizing his attention. The entrance of another group robbed him of the chance to say more. Flanked by a pair of troopers in black dress uniform, Governor Nereus strode to the third corner of the table and sat down. His troopers stepped into position behind him in unison, then stood at parade rest. When everyone else was engaged in conversation except Senator Gariel Captison, Luke took a deep breath. Nothing risked, nothing gained. "You have some very strong preconceptions about Jedi," he said. Her mysterious eyes blinked. Shallow creases furrowed her forehead. "You see," he went on quickly, "this morning in the Senate chamber I was doing all I could to see who might be willing to work with the Alliance. I won't deny it." "I am a trained Imperial diplomat, Commander." She touched a cloth napkin to her mouth and glanced up the table toward Belden. "It's possible some of the others are rebellion sympathizers and misled." He definitely needed to talk with Senator Belden. "I spent 2 hours at the garrison this morning talking strategy with Commander Thanis. He has accepted our presence, temporarily. Can't you, for your people's sake?" "We are grateful to the Alliance for help." Deciding to stick with the direct approach, Luke said, "Perhaps you think I can read your mind, Senator Captison. I can only sense your emotions, and only when I'm trying to. Most of the time, I live pretty much the way you do." "It's not that," she admitted. "I have religious difficulties with your kind." That caught him like a kick to the stomach. Ben and Yoda taught him that the Force embraced all religions. "And the Alliance?" "Forgive me if I seemed ungrateful. The Siruk have us terrified, but in the long run, accepting your help could lead to unpleasant repercussions." "Stick to small talk," Luke reminded himself. Servants brought in a main course of tiny green shellfish and buttery, unfamiliar vegetables, served with bowls full of pale, blue-brown grain. She remained polite but distant until he asked, as servants removed plates and bowls, I like Senator Belden. Is he a friend of your family?" "Yes, for years. Despite his oddities. Evidently a very close friend." Abruptly, Gariel's stiff upper lip guard melted away. She grasped a carafe that stood beside the centerpiece and poured a few pale orange drops into the tiny goblet in front of him. "Try that." Curious, he swirled the goblet. The liquid clung to the glass like syrup. He sipped. Liquid turned to fire. He caught its flavor like intoxicating jungle flowers mingled with the sweetest fruit he'd ever tasted. Her eyes sparkled. Obviously, she hadn't missed a nuance of his reaction.
"What is it?"
He cooled his mouth with a sip of water.
"Nemana nectar, one of our chief exports."
"I can understand why." "Nemana fruit," she said, smiling, "once processed, induces a faint sense of pleasure. Most people don't notice immediately. They just feel good without knowing why." Luke hoped his cheeks didn't look as warm as they suddenly felt. Still, Gariel seemed to have opened up.
"I'm not supposed to ask you about rumors. She bent closer. But are you certain His Imperial Highness is dead? Abrupt hostility grated at Luke from Gariel's right. Luke peered beyond her and saw Governor Nereus staring at him. Jealous? He wondered. Could Nereus have designs on Gariel? He spoke quietly. The Emperor was strong in the Force. For one thing, I felt his death. That was true as far as it went. To his surprise, she blanched deeply. I hadn't known that about His Majesty. Governor Nereus turned aside toward Chewbacca. Luke relaxed his guard. It's not just Jedi, he murmured to Gariel. Your religion condemns anyone with a strong Force ability? What would she say if she knew how the Emperor had nearly killed him? Later, he told himself firmly, alone. He imagined himself vindicating the Jedi and pointing the accusing finger squarely at her honored Emperor. Now, just a minute. Han's voice rose above the polite hum of dinner conversation. Governor Nereus pressed his forearms to the table and said, I'm not accustomed to dining with aliens, General. Your Highness, Senator Organa, I question your good taste bringing a Wookiee to table tonight when Bakura is fighting for its very existence against aliens. Excuse me, Han said in a decidedly unrepentant voice. My co-pilot doesn't want me to argue for his sake, but he said something you should all hear. It's humans your Saruk are after, you know. So even if they invade, Chewie is less at risk than the rest of us. They don't want Wookiees for their droid batteries. He says that if you needed somebody to carry messages out to their ships, he'd volunteer. Oh, yes. What an excellent idea, General Solo. But Saruk's speech has never been translated, and I doubt that a Wookiee could duplicate it, since Wookiees have never even mastered human speech. Whistles, tweets, like a flock of birds. That's why we call them Fluties.
Governor, Leia called from her end of the table, perhaps I might offer the service of my protocol droid, C-3PO. He knows over 6 million languages.
Send a droid and an alien to represent an imperial world? I think not.
Leia didn't answer.
One more thing. Anyone who tries to talk Bakurans into sedition, publicly or privately, will be arrested and expelled. Must I make myself clearer?
No, Governor. But I have a question for you. According to the recording you showed us in front of the Senate, the Saruk are here because your late Emperor invited them. How do you explain that?
Nereus raised his head.
I do not presume to second-guess the Emperor, Your Highness.
Luke caught a flash of insight.
Palpatine wanted battle droids of his own. They're more maneuverable than your TIE fighters, and far better shielded for their size.
As we've seen, said Leia pointedly, at close range. No one spoke for several seconds. Then conversations began to buzz again. They were halfway into dessert, something cold in a bowl with 6 nut-flavored layers, when a trooper strode in. The soldier touched Governor Nereus's shoulder and led him out a vine-covered arch.
What do you think that's about?
Luke murmured to Gariel. Her glance followed them.
We'll soon see.
The governor returned 5 minutes later, fairly blasting agitation and fear.
That was a personal communique from Admiral Prittick of the fleet.
Nereus's strident voice took on a knife edge.
His message confirms these rebels' claims. Emperor Palpatine is presumed dead.
Prime Minister Captison tipped his chair over as he sprang up.
Then there will be no help from the Empire.
Governor Nereus stared over the table at Luke. For once, Luke sensed no deceit. Despite his external composure, the man was frightened half to death. He turned to Leia.
Princess Leia, if your troops are willing to cooperate with mine, under truce, we need your help.
Leia's shoulders straightened.
An official truce, Your Excellency?
As official as I can make it.
Dev tottered to his feet. He'd awakened on the deck of a round, uncomfortably warm cabin full of lights and mechanical sounds. This had to be the bridge. He was rarely allowed up here. Bridge security was supreme priority. But the Shriwer's captain and Admiral Ipikis hunched beside Blue Scale.
All three slowly blinked at him. Apparently, the presence of another force user mattered a great deal. He'd known that, and then forgotten it. What games were they playing with his mind?
Tell them what you told Elder Shtkith,
Master Fearwatering urged.
It felt like your mother's presence, but male.
Like, he said softly, but different. Mother was not so strong.
Look at me.
Blueskell thrust his head forward. The beautiful eyes seemed to swirl. Up from a corner of Dev's mind bubbled a spring of excitement. This was his right mind. He loved them. Why, if the being is as strong as I believe, he could contact other humans, even from a distance. Fear Warung's massive V-marked head turned toward him.
That is an interesting idea. How far do you think?
Dev felt freshly energized. I don't know, but we were many light years away when I felt the Emperor's death for you.
True,
whistled Bluescale. He touched Fearwurung's shoulder scales. Fearwurung twitched his tail.
We might have to modify an apparatus. Yes, modify it to keep this strong one alive in a fully magnetized state, calling energies from outside.
Admiral Ifpicus's tail quivered, too.
A pipeline to humans. We could own all known space, not merely this empire.
Catching their excitement, Dev interlaced his fingers and squeezed hard.
I observe, said Admiral Ifpicus, the need for another shift in strategy. We must secure this strong one.
They spoke hurriedly among themselves. Ignored by Bluescale, Dev wilted. He could barely follow their speech. He had always been their special pet, their beloved human. Would they tail sweep him aside? He touched his throat. He might get his battle droid at last, but at what cost? They might entech him simply because they no longer needed him. He wanted his battle droid, but he craved their love. They turned around simultaneously. Fearwurung stroked Dev's arm, lovingly raising red welts.
Help us now. Stretch out to the unseen universe. Give us a name, a place. Help us find him.
Master, Dev whispered, will you always put me first? Fearwurung stroked harder, bringing tears to Dev's eyes.
We have never doubted your devotion. Surely you don't mean to make us question it.
No, no. Dev felt his face go pale. He had made Fearwurung his family, Fearwurung's cabin his home. He had given up his humanity. If Fearwurung replaced him, what was left? Bluescale lurched forward.
Dev Sivwara, we need your service as never before.
Dev couldn't tear his eyes off Fearwurung. The entechment chief had always implied that he loved Dev, but had he ever actually sang the word love? Shaken, Dev took a step backward. A Pawek wrapped brown foreclaws around Dev's shoulders and held him toward Bluescale. The Elder lifted a hypospray. They couldn't be doing this. The hypospray wouldn't hurt much, but he remembered now what would follow. How could they be so unkind after all he had done? Recognition filtered up out of Dev's memory. They'd been unkind before. And before that, too. This was his right mind. This was Dev Sivwara, human, restored by touching the outsider. But he couldn't beat his master's drugs, nor Bluescale's direct domination. He was slipping. The hypospray relaxed him as before, though he fought it for the sake of his secret. Fearwurung bent close.
Look outward, Dev. Serve us now. Where is this one? What is his name? How can we find him?
Fearwurung's head blurred. Dev squeezed a salty river out of each eye. Then he closed out his grief and his awareness of the Shriwur's deck and escaped into the Force. He let the swirling universe carry him past his master's dim auras. The outsider felt as strong and as close as before, undeniably masculine and kindred, though a second diffuse feminine presence hung close by. The first one's sharply focused light almost washed out the second. An echo, perhaps? He didn't understand.
All that he knew was that love and security came from Beowulf. He avoided touching the outsider's force presence. In the capital city, he murmured, half conscious. Salazar. An hour later, forgotten as Fearwurung busied himself with schematic drawings, Dev curled up in the sleeping pit's warm center, filled with shame at what he'd done.
How had his mother taught him to open contact? It had been 5 years.
His ordeal had exhausted him. He wanted to lie still and fondle sweet memories of his real home. But he must try before Bluescale renewed him again, and there wasn't much time. He'd pay for this with the deepest renewal of his life, but he owed humankind one effort. He closed his eyes and emptied himself of hope, repentance, and bitterness. Fear wouldn't leave. It tinged his control, but he touched the force through it. Almost instantly, he felt that brilliance. He flicked at its edge for attention, then formed an urgent warning in his mind. Luke flung thermal covers away into darkness. For a cold, sleepy instant, he couldn't remember what had awakened him. Then he recalled a dark, urgent sense of fear and warning. Humanity was in peril because of him. Dev rolled over in Fearwurung's sleeping pit, clutching cushions. It was a Jedi out there. This time he'd felt the unmistakable, trained control, even when it was barely awakened. The hatch slid aside, and a massive blue shape appeared. Bluescale marched toward the bed pit.
Admiral Intikis has conceived a new mission for our young human ally. He must be freshly renewed before it begins.
Fearwurung blinked slowly.
Then it is my honor to submit Dev to you.
Bluescale closed a massive foreclaw around Dev's right arm and yanked him upright.
Are you awake, small thing?
Dev blinked. The renewal was over. He lay on a warm, nubbly deck near a pair of massive, clawed hind feet. He knew that whistling song and the scent of that breath. A narrow-faced blue head bent close to him. He felt pristine and fresh, like a hatchling emerged from its egg.
I have healed you, said
Dev, struggled to remember the name.
Welcome back to full joy.
Dev reached up and wrapped his arms around Bluescale and squeezed embarrassing moisture out of his eyes.
Thank you. You now have only the thoughts, emotions, and memories that will strengthen you.
Bluescale crossed slender forearms over his chest. Dev inhaled deeply and gladly.
I feel so clean.
He couldn't remember how Bluescale did this. He never could remember.
Now we will go to Admiral Ifbikis.
Yes, the mission.
Bluescale had said there was a special mission for him, a supreme privilege for the sake of the Siruk Imperium. Dev walked beside the elder. He had white eyes, furred skin, and a small, stinking, tailless body. Who was he to deserve such effort on the part of his beloved Siruvi? Such happiness in service, such important life work. When 3PO wakened Leia early, she'd found a message from Luke. He'd taken Chewbacca to the spaceport to oversee ship repairs. She dressed hurriedly in the bathroom. Scurrying back out, she caught sight of a tall human standing against the wall. She gasped and stopped in mid-step. By dim room light, he glimmered faintly. Luke had said he sometimes saw Ben Kenobi like this. Backing away, she squinted.
Who are you? State your business.
Do not fear me.
Who are you?
The stranger stepped sideways into a darker spot where his glow brightened. He was tall, with a broad, pleasant face and dark hair.
I'm your father, Leia.
Vader. A chill started at her feet and shivered its way to her scalp. His very presence stirred every dark emotion she owned, fear, hatred.
Leia, do not fear me. I am forgiven, but I have much that I wish to atone for. I must clear your heart and your mind of anger. Anger is the dark side, too.
I want you to leave. The dark chill froze her voice.
Wait.
He did not move away from the wall. If anything, he seemed to shrink in size and proximity.
I am no longer the man that you feared. Can you not see me as a stranger, not an old enemy? She'd lived too long with the fear of Darth Vader.
You can't restore Alderaan, my home, and Bail Organa, who I will always think of as my true father. You can't bring back the people you murdered or comfort their widows and orphans. You can't undo what you did to the Alliance.
Old pain jabbed her like a fresh wound. I strengthened the Alliance, although that was not my intent.
He extended a glimmering arm. The mellow voice sounded wrong. The mild, naked face didn't look as if it had hidden for decades behind a black breath mask.
Leia, things are changing. I may never be able to return to you.
Good.
There is no justifying my actions. Yet your brother saved me from darkness. You must believe me.
I heard Luke.
She crossed her arms and clenched her hands around her elbows. But I'm not Luke, or your teacher, or your confessor.
I'm only your daughter by a cruel trick of fate.
Of the Force, even that served a purpose. I am proud of your strengths. I do not ask for absolution, only your forgiveness.
She swallowed. Her throat felt dry.
I can almost forgive you torturing me.
He bowed his head.
And the evils you did to other people, because those drove so many worlds into the Alliance. But cruelty to Han, no. If you want to go through me, you won't get his forgiveness, never.
The figure shrank farther away.
Never is too large a word.
Darth Vader lecturing her about virtue and eternity? I will never forgive you. Dematerialize. Go away.
She rushed out of the bedroom. Morning light streamed through the main room's long window. Han pushed up out of a corner lounge pit.
You're going to be late, Highnessness.
Leia's stomach hurt. I just saw Vader.
Oh, you're seeing things too now. What do you want?
You're going to love this. To apologize.
Yeah,
she said.
My sentiments, exactly.
You know, you've been jumping at everything that reminded you of him. Now you've faced him down. Maybe the worst is over.
It's not. She let her shoulders sink. Han, he's still here. I'm...
Unable to finish the sentence, she shut her eyes.
So what? Hey, nobody gets to be as big a deal with the Empire as he was without a lot of strengths and abilities. You got him. You're just using him differently.
How could he be so insensitive? Thanks a lot, Han. She considered taking a swing at him.
Go away. All right, okay, I can take a hint.
Glaring, Han stalked around the lounge pit.
Han, wait.
What had she done? He almost reached the main door.
Han, it's the Vader in me. I can't help what I am.
As the impact of what she'd said flooded through her, Han stopped beside the black console. He turned slowly.
No. It's the Skywalker in you.
That name, Luke's name, didn't raise her hackles the same way. A fleeting thought flashed through her mind. What had Vader been like before he was Vader?
I'll tell you one thing. Han walked up to the edge of the lounge pit. Governments need each other. Yeah. Planets do. Species do. But so do people.
Governments?
She was going to be late for breakfast with the Prime Minister.
Yeah,
she paced back to his side.
Right.
Anyway, he's gone. He didn't hurt me. Maybe he can't hurt me anymore.
Now, that'd be good.
Han ran a finger around the tight braids pinned to her head.
I love you.
She held her lips near his chin. Accepting the invitation, he bent and kissed her. She felt her life energy draw up into the kiss until nothing existed but barely perceptible movements of Han's mouth. Her pulse quickened in her ears. It was the comm center behind Han.
I think I'm in trouble.
Leia tried stretching out for him. What she touched frosted her blood. His deeper sense hid a dark disquiet.
Luke, what's wrong?
Come on, Leia. This isn't a secure channel.
Well, then it has to be later, Leia said. Han and I have to go straight from here to the Prime Minister. I'm also taking him 3PO and R2 to try translating.
Good. R2's probably still in my bedroom, plugged in. Han, I'm leaving Chewie at the spaceport to keep things calm. I'll try to talk to Belden next, if I can find him.
Belden?
The senior senator. I have a feeling. I'll see you two later.